Hey, everybody. Kevin Grossman, president of Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards. Just a quick note before we get to the next podcast. For those who attended our 2020 Candy Awards virtual conference, thank you very much. And please note, the 2021 Candy Benchmark Research Program will begin again in January. We've got two new exciting programs to launch as well, Candy Benchmark Membership, as well as our learning program that's going to launch. And you can find more info at our site at thetalentboard.org. And lastly, Candidate Experience Day 2021 will be January 20th. And we've got more information coming about that. So thanks again, everybody, for your ongoing support. We appreciate it, and happy holidays to you.
Moving things virtually created that level of safety for them, which actually meant that they could accelerate the process, feel safer in doing so, get better outcomes. So I think it's helped actually give them a greater appreciation for the role that TA plays and also the role that technology helps play for them as well.
You're listening to the Candy Shop Talk podcast, brought to you by Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards Benchmark Research, and hosted by Kevin W. Grossman. Talent Board is the first nonprofit research organization focused on elevating and promoting a quality candidate experience. The Candy Shop Talk welcomes Al Shermer, Product Partnerships and Solutions Director at LiveHire, a recruitment and talent mobility software that empowers the flow of the world's talent. And a proud Candidate Experience Award sponsor. Listen in on how improving candidate experience impacts recruiting and the business bottom line. Al, thank you so much for joining me on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. Before we dive into the rest of the show, tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do today.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. It's great to be here. So my name's Alistair Shermer, but everyone calls me Al. So my role at LiveHire is I'm the Product Partnerships and Solutions Director for LiveHire globally. Very simply, in my role, I spend most of my time between the market and our customers and our product in terms of our internal team, really understanding the needs and really making sure that the problems that our clients are trying to solve, we're able to solve those problems for them and then think about, well, where do we need to continue to evolve our product for the future as well. And then the second part to that is that's the solution side. The second part is product partnerships. And that's largely going, well, you know what, we can spend millions and billions of dollars building the thing ourselves, but there's actually amazing technology out there that we can partner with and work with. So it's really about how do we bring that experience to life? And then once again, think about those problems through the life cycle and how technology can really help enable outcomes around that. I've been in the business about 7 years. I've been in the industry for over 20. I've been around the traps for a while. So that's what I do.
Well, that's excellent. And you're right about that playing nice with lots of other different technology solutions, because most companies of any scale or hiring volume, and I know this year definitely has impacted that globally, but we'll talk more about that in a bit. But whatever the case is, companies have multiple solutions. And when you think about the overall HR technology umbrella, from recruitment to onboarding to talent management and the whole gamut of that and performance development, and there's a lot of systems that companies have. And usually then they need to have, you know, it's always been kind of that thing of getting to that single source of data truth. And in HR, it hasn't been easy. They've been kind of one of the last to the dance there, right? Because, you know, finance, yeah, Operations, a lot of other parts of the business have gotten a much better handle on that. But HR, I think we're finally, it's coming into its own a little bit, and recruiting is coming into its own. So let me ask you, obviously not such a complicated question, but COVID obviously has impacted how we recruit and hire. And for some industries that have been super hard hit, if they're even recruiting and hiring, right? And so we know all that. We've all lived through this now for going into 9 months. But kind of reflect back pre-COVID and now, obviously we flipped to virtual for a lot of interviewing and onboarding. Most companies have had to figure that part out. Yep. But what are you helping to solve today? I mean, what was going on before COVID in regards to how the LiveHire system, the platform, was helping to solve those recruiting and hiring challenges, and how has it kind of changed today? I'm infamous, Al, for asking like 8-part questions. So good luck with that one. Enjoy it.
That also puts the pressure on me for an 8-part answer as well. So look, I think it's really interesting when you reflect back, and let's keep in mind that we've had a I had a two-world scenario in 1 year. So it was only January or February this year that everything was still, in inverted commas, normal. And then, you know, obviously through the mid part of this year, it's been super crazy. So I think if we look at what we were seeing across the board, and Livewire as a technology is really a sort of a recruitment engagement platform in terms of actually where we spend our time and what we help enable our clients around. If you think about that in the context, largely most of our customers are using us for sourcing attraction, you know, trying to move towards more proactive sourcing because they needed to find more talent, engage more talent. And so that was absolutely the case. You know, pre-COVID, that was sort of more your traditional type of, okay, I need to improve my candidate experience. I need to improve my recruitment experience. I need to find great talent. COVID hit, market shut down. I think you saw a lot of particular industries that went through largely a massive ramp up, and then other industries that just shut down completely. And there's been a lot of downsizing. You would have seen the same over in America. We absolutely saw the same here in Australia as well. And so, you know, you'd have some customers that would be hiring anywhere from 10,000 people within a space of a couple of weeks and needing to do everything virtual. So I think to your point around, well, what's different? 100%, the virtual piece is interesting and very different, but arguably something was going to happen anyway. And I think a lot of people have talked about this, is ultimately it's just accelerated what was going to become a norm, but it's just really digitized what that experience is. I think the interesting thing through that, and I'll get to more about what have we seen and how has it impacted Livewire and how have we pivoted around it, is the interesting thing for me has been as much about what's the impact of the recruitment team and how they hire as it is what's the feedback from hiring managers actually been. And we talk a lot about candidates, but hiring managers are the ones typically get forgotten about quite a lot in this world of TA when we talk about it. Hiring managers have felt quite unsafe prior to this. So one, they felt really time poor because they're constantly drawn into lots of interviews and stuff all the time and doing lots of reviewing all the time. But also coming into COVID, when COVID was really occurring, they felt quite unsafe about the whole idea of a face-to-face interview. So moving things virtually created that level of safety for them, which actually meant that they could accelerate the process, feel safer in doing so, get better outcomes. So I think it's helped actually give them a greater appreciation for the role that TA plays and also the role that technology helps play for them as well. So I think that's good. It's, for hiring managers, it's helped accelerate acceptance of what arguably TA has been beating the drum about for years and years and years. And hiring managers going, you know what? It's fine. You know, it's not broken. We don't need any of this crap. Let's just actually just go with what we've got. We've always done it that way. So I think there's that. I think on the flip side of that, candidates. So I think through COVID, candidates, and you would have seen this in the States as well, but the volume of applications and competitiveness because of the lower volume of opportunity in market has been massively amplified. So I think the traditional pains for candidates through that world have also been amplified. So the you know, the traditional things around what are their bugbears? I apply for a job and I never hear back. You know, that classic is amplified, you know, tenfold when there is tenfold of the applications in what would normally be a traditional setting. So I think that's been an interesting thing that companies have been grappling with. I think from a Livewire perspective, it's been really interesting what the impact has been. But whether it be through great design and great forethought, but our philosophy has always been about, and our mission is all about empowering the flow of talent into the world's best organizations. And one of the things that Livewire has done well from the start is that we've centered our platform and our technology around the talent. So we put the talent at the center of the equation versus a traditional recruitment platform like an ATS, which puts the requisition at the center of the process. So if there's no job, there's no work, there's nothing going on. So what that's enabled us to do by having the talent at the center is we saw a massive shift from organizations moving from an external focus to an internal focus. And what that's essentially meant is that, and we've seen a number of use cases, particularly across government, where they've said, okay, well, we need to have a COVID response in place, but at the moment we have no visibility to our people. We know we have 30,000 staff. We know we have 100,000 staff. We just don't know what they do. And we don't know how we can actually mobilize them. And so that's really where I think Livewire has actually opened up a lot more and is actually taking us to the path of total talent, which has always been our objective, is starting to think about the power of the profile and the power of the data within that profile that can start to actually create more talent visibility. So I think, you know, if I look at pre-COVID and now through COVID, probably the key themes, if I can summarize, is high fast digitization, more safety in the environment as well. I think the other part that there's a real sort of demand and call out for is transparency, particularly for the candidate. And I think that's where we've been really well positioned, with the candidate owning their own profile and being empowered to actually keep that improved, keep that up to date, but have visibility. And actually a real move towards total talent view, and TA playing a bigger role in that, because I don't think they've played a big enough role in that traditionally.
I would agree with you, because you would have, depending on the structure of the organization, most of the focus is usually more on external hiring. And then once we make that person's hired on board, then they get punted to HR, and then it becomes and the hiring manager's responsibility. And then it's a talent development management. Although we're constantly having to re-recruit to retain, though, right? So technically, I would argue, I have been for the past few years, that really is more of an ongoing recruiting function. And it's interesting that you said that that's really become a strength for the Live Hire platform now. Because when we go back to when the things first locked down, globally, and in our experience in the States here too, organizations were put into this forced level of transparency like they've never been before. Even at least in my recent memory, and I've been in the space for over 20 years too, and we've been through, you know, the Great Recession and other downturns. So what do you tell your candidates that are in the pipelines that now you're frozen hiring and there's no more in-person interviewing? What do you tell those new hires that were getting ready to start? Maybe they've accepted offers and now they can't be onboarded in person. And what do you tell your employees about how you're trying to figure out how to keep the business moving forward and doing everything that we can not to furlough you or lay you off? Again, where I'm going with this is redeployment has become a very, very big theme for organizations on how do I move people around to keep them and to get them into positions that are going to help, again, grow and sustain the business that we're still trying to figure out in this global pandemic moving forward. And so we saw that this year in our data and research. And because of that, the ratings actually around the world, the candidate experience ratings actually went up, because pre-COVID, we were in nothing but a growth market globally, I would argue. But we know that in the States, especially, lowest unemployment in decades, right? Pre-COVID. And yet candidate resentment, one of the indicators that we focus on of those candidates who say, I don't ever want to do anything with you again. Horrible experience, done. That was actually increasing globally. And then this year, it all changed. Now, you know, candidates had to learn to be more forgiving as well in the process. So there's this level of empathic communication like I've never seen before between employers, their employees, and their candidates. So then going back to that whole idea about like keeping people, retaining them, getting them into positions that are going to help us, or bringing them back from furlough and putting them into new positions that are going to help. That being able, that total talent view, companies have been talking about that for a long time. And, you know, the joke about your ATS databases, right, is like, it's like the Bill Murray movie Groundhog Day, where it's the same day over and over again. We keep putting a job out, getting the resume, but all these people we have them.
Well, correct. And they're referred to as the walking dead, aren't they? Because they ultimately just ignore them. They're sort of just sitting there. So we've spent a lot of time building a lot of AI matching in our product. And when we think about database, we think of it as a talent community. And that's what we refer to it as. We don't refer to it as a database.
Sure.
It's a community of talent that essentially have expressed interest to want to work for you at some point in time. So I think the point you were talking about before is really interesting. It's actually about communication. It's actually about engagement. But we saw one client we were talking to here in Melbourne, large university. They had, I think it was about 70% of their workforce were casuals, and they had to furlough all of them, you know, through COVID. And so that's standing down a ton of people. And their problem was, well, what do we do with them? Where do we put them? So these people will find other work. So how do we continue to keep some level of relationship and engagement with them? But how do we begin to organize these people? Obviously, there was a lot of cost cutting, and there had to be, because you know, your revenues are dropping. So you need to think about cost management across your business. But recruitment was one of the first functions to get sliced. I'm not sure if you got what you guys saw over in the US as well.
It always is, but it always is when things start to go south, it is one of the first areas to be cut back.
You know, I think if you look at, well, in the future, where should we be refocused? I think the function itself should be refocused. Mm-hmm, and so by having a term of recruitment, if there is no recruitment, there is no role for you. But having a term of talent, well, that puts a totally different lens on the purpose of the function. And then that actually can be deployed into that furlough scenario of engagement, of segmentation of, you know, continuing to stay top of mind, be ready, be prepared. Because, you know, I think what we found here in Australia is, and we're in a wonderful COVID position globally. I think here in Victoria, where we had probably one of the hardest lockdowns globally, as of today, we are COVID-free. As of today, which is an incredible, incredible result. And we're now back up to probably levels of around about 75, 80% of what our pre-COVID employment numbers were. So for those in the US, there is absolutely light at the tunnel. Don't worry, it can happen. But I think the interesting thing is how well are you prepared for what that would look like, and what would your new structure look like as well? So I think there's a huge amount of opportunity.
We're still we're still playing merry-go-round with the two steps forward, one step back, one step forward, two steps back, forward, skip. Yep. It's like a skipping game we're kind of playing right now. But yes, it's good to hear that, because there have been industries as well that we've seen that have actually continued to fare pretty well, though. Finance and insurance, for example, some services sectors, consulting parts of that, we've seen actually hold up pretty well. And healthcare, of course. I mean, healthcare is also getting the heck beat out of them too, dealing with COVID, but there also have been, and technology we've seen, and again, just thinking about the candy data that we have, those industries have fared better. And even some consumer goods, and even food and beverage, believe it or not. Again, everybody's figuring out how do we pivot? How do we keep the business moving forward? Even travel and leisure's trying to do their best there. The thing I was going to ask is, so focusing on the talent, and now you mentioned more machine learning being embedded, right? Mm. Smart technology, AI being embedded into the live hire system for better accurate sourcing and identifying those people in the system. So what else is differentiating you in the market? Because that's one of the things that's key, that we know that for this level of AI related technologies that we all know it's not really AI. I mean, it's not exactly, but it's smart technology, right? It helps us to make faster decisions that we would never be able to do as human beings, right? To be able to find people, source them, communicate with them, engage with them. How else are you differentiating then, putting talent in the center? That's a big deal, first and foremost. What else could, with other comparable virtual AI-driven sourcing platforms too that are out there?
I'll come back to AI in a second, but I think one of the things I was talking about before was around engagement and communication. So I think from a differentiation perspective, the talent at the center part, it has to be connected to engagement as part of that, because that's what's going to help improve your brand connection, you know, with your candidates, but also at the end of the day, deliver the experience that a candidate and also a recruitment person would be looking for as well. So with that in mind, you know, our messaging capability on platform, we kind of refer to as humanized messaging. It's really about enabling two-way engagement, particularly via text message, that is easy and familiar. So what you don't want is you don't want to get a text message, click on a link, log into a thing, respond to the thing, log out of the thing, and then hope that somebody responds. You just want to respond. And so I think the thing from us, when we think about our product and how we differentiate, a lot of our product development is experience design product development. So we always think about, well, what's the experience that a candidate would be looking for, that a recruiter would be looking for, that a hiring manager would be looking for? So I think that's definitely a big differentiator for us. And the important part to that two-way SMS engagement is everything comes back through the system. So everything is constantly being tracked through the system, so we can see, well, what's happening with engagement. So we talk about that as SMS journeys. And I think the classic, you know, comparative there is, well, what about email nurturing, CRMs, recruitment marketing, etc.? Now, the problem with those sorts of approaches is it kind of feels a bit spammy at the end of the day. You tend to get to a point where you're just getting smashed with emails all the time. Yeah. But it's not really actually speaking to you at a personalized level, at a more human level. And the other thing I kind of always refer to is, what's your likelihood of getting a response? And if I'm not sure how many unread emails you've got, Kevin, I've got, I think it's close to 12,000 unread emails, which well, is you just...
You got me beat there. I had to, okay. I've always had an aspirational goal of getting to, what was that, the zero inbox, you know? But that's, I'm far away from that. But now if you count all the emails, like all the promotional emails I get and all those that get trapped in the different Gmail buckets that we have in our G Suite, and it's probably up there with the thousands with you.
So and I think if I was to combine my personal email addresses, of which I've got two, so there's a family one of my own, I think I'm closer to 100,000, you know, unread emails, just because of all the spammy things that come through. But text messages, zero. I've got none that are unread, because you tend to connect with that straight away. It tends to sort of jump out at you and you feel more urgency about it. I think we're getting about 17 minutes average time to respond across our entire ecosystem of customers. So I think that's great. What that's helping unlock is also connecting back to that total talent view. Because the platform's built around a profile, we can capture up to 95 data points on a person. So we can. So that's where the matching capability and the intelligence in the platform begins to actually play its role, because technology can only be as intelligent as the data it has access to. And so the more you have on both sides of the equation, the better the matching and the better the servicing, you know, for the business and for the candidate. So direct sourcing is a really interesting one for us. And that speaks once again to the total talent play. And that's really about contingent hiring. So a lot of organizations are, you know, when they think coming out of COVID, are probably going to be starting with contingent hiring or starting with casual hiring before they go too hard on FTE.
A lot of increase in contractors, right?
Exactly. And right. So I think the fact that organizations aren't utilizing their own brand is a real missed opportunity. And there are more and more people who are wanting to do contract work for flexibility for their own management, but would rather connect directly with the brand of the organization. So we're now spending a lot of time, particularly in North America, around, well, how do we start to actually enable organizations to amplify that brand, but provide a direct sourcing service and technology approach to improve the candidate experience and to improve a cost reduction in margin for the business at the same time as well. So there's some real interesting differentiation and movement occurring there. And I think probably the final one I would say is also connecting back to total talent, where we're going to be investing more time, and we're already seeing more of this playing out around the mobility piece, particularly this year, that starts with visibility. So who have we got? What are their capabilities? What are their skills and their competencies? And then we want to think about empowering the individual to take more control on that journey. And so once again, our mission is about empowering the flow of talent. Well, that's about in, through, and out. And so how do we help them through the through scenario and keep empowering them to have more transparency and visibility on what that direction could be? So I think tech itself, I'm a big, big believer that its job is to enable. And so it's to enable the outcome that the individuals are looking for and directionally where they're looking to go, as opposed to just being sort of shiny widgets and, you know, looking funky. If it's not doing its job, it's not doing its job.
I totally agree. The point about contingent, and I've heard that total talent view for a long time. And there are organizations in the States and obviously everywhere that where the contingent and the full-time employee data are mixed. You get a view into that, right? And it's under the purview of HR. But for a lot of organizations, though, procurement still drives the contingent. And that's a whole different... conversation about that one. But it is important, though, that companies are wanting to have that. Because see, here's the thing that I've been talking about a lot lately is, and everything that you've outlined, at the end of the day, candidates don't care about the technology stack. They don't care about, not directly, what they care about or everything that we've been talking about here that you just outlined. They care about being acknowledged that they're interested in the company and the brand, whether they're external or they're currently working for the company and they're looking at another potential opportunity. Maybe they want to flip to a contract role or they want to have another role inside or the company's eyeing them. They want that acknowledgement. They want to be communicated with for as far as I get. And we all know, if you run the numbers, we know that the volume of people who research and apply for a job, that is as far as they ever get. So that's their experience. And a lot of that, if not for any companies of scale or any volume of hiring, that's going to mostly, if not all, automated. The messages that go to them, you have control, what you're saying to them, at what points and when, and you have a lot more freedom in that flexibility, but they just want to be communicated with for as far as I get, and most of them don't get very far. And then definitive closure when you're not going to pursue me any further. Tell me.
That's right.
Don't hold on to me until you fill the rack and then disposition everybody all at once. Most of us aren't qualified. We want to believe we are. Yeah. Then be clear about it. This is what technology can do now and be much more personalized and flexible and how you're responding to whom and when. I think that's what's exciting about this kind of technology today, whether you're sourcing, whether you're answering questions for people before they even apply, during the application process, during the assessment, if there's a test involved, getting questions answered where most of the time human teams could never do that at any scale anyway. And that's what's super exciting, but that's what they care about. So, and that's because it drives that experience. That's the experiential viewpoint that you're talking about. That's what's really exciting. And there are companies, obviously, like Livehour and many others who are really being true to that and really work and have platforms that are that configurable to be personalized in that fashion. And, but that's what we care about as candidates. We just want that acknowledgement and that communication. They want the engagement, right?
They do. And I think the other thing that they want is ease. They want it to be easy. If it's going to take half an hour or 15 minutes to go through an application process, I mean, are you kidding? So I know that some of these things are a bit designed by the process that the company has and the questions they want to ask, but even just little things like you don't have to create a username and password to get through the front gate. So it's almost like going through, you know, going to a party, you've got to, you know, fill out the whole birth certificate form just to get into the party. I mean, that seems crazy. So make it easy for them.
To your point earlier too, the recruiters and the hiring managers, I want technology to enable me so that I can be laser focused with the human interaction that I will have with that much smaller tier of folks that actually get screened and interviewed and assessed and made offers to and eventually are hired. That's where I want to spend my time. I also don't want to spend my time, you know, we all interview scheduling and all the things that just drain our blood from our veins on the recruiting side too, right? So I wanted to just, because this has been a great conversation and I could totally keep talking to you, Al. What I wanted to ask though, I need to hear something. What's top secret that's coming for Livehire? Yeah, I'm not going to tell anybody, I promise.
No.
Don't tell a soul. But based on everything that you've, again, talent-centric platform, everything we've been talking about, what's next? What's coming in 2021? Something that you can share.
Yeah, so I've kind of hinted to it a little bit already, which is around the internal mobility side. I think that's going to be a big investment. You know, give you a classic example of this. In my profile, I can actually look at all of the roles or future opportunities in the business, whether it be I'm a contractor or whether it be I'm an employee. And then I can actually do a gap analysis on a competency level to see, well, where do I need to focus and develop, and then work with my hiring manager or work with my line manager around how do I develop. Right. But also, more and more importantly, expose that information to the TA function. So the TA function within the platform can see where the direction of the employees or the contractors actually is. Because today, you made the comment earlier, that data sits in the HR system. TA doesn't have any visibility to that. In fact, most people have no visibility.
Right. They
don't. Which is why mobility doesn't happen. It has to be connected to where the hiring happens. So I think that's an important one. I think the other one, which is interesting, is that you mentioned it before around one of the other pain points is interviewing. So we're doing a lot of work around interview management and scheduling at the moment. And one thing that we want to bring in and will look to bring into the platform is essentially an AI assistant to manage the whole thing for you. Let's take the work off the actual TA function and let the AI assistant just deal with all the parties. And that can be across the recruiter, the hiring manager, the candidates in bulk, in group, in panel, and they will manage the whole thing. So, and that's rescheduling as well. So we're working with another partner around what that will look like and how we get to life. That's going to be an exciting efficiency driver. We're a bit excited about that. And I think the final one I would say, you kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier about the fact of one platform to rule them all. The problem with that is you tend to not get a great experience the whole way through. Yeah. So you tend to find a lot of companies looking for best of breed. But what you're seeing more and more need for now, particularly for larger businesses, is about how do I get access to my data to be able to feed it into a single environment? And that's really where data connectors becomes really, really important. And then I think the business gets the visibility it needs. So you can go best of breed. And with visibility, if you've got a connector.
Well, it's always been that. It's always that ebb and flow, though, right? With best of breed, and there's always with a platform, there's always going to be strengths with whether it's been built or it's part of acquisitions that have come in and then integrated into it. It's a little bit of both, but it's that single source of data truth to try to get to, which is again still been a long time coming for HR recruiting and hiring and talent management. However, now, I don't know if you heard that. I know in the States, the Securities and Exchange Commission is now going to be requiring publicly traded companies to also provide human capital metrics in their reporting. That includes recruiting and retention and some other metrics, and it's just the beginning. And I know some of the folks that I've talked to here, I think we think it's a good thing. It's not only going to shine a light on operationally what happens with the people side of the business, which is a big side of any business at the end of the day, that is going to really shine a light on companies who are struggling to understand their data. And they now it's really time. We got to understand. Yeah, yeah. Now we got to report on this.
Right? So let me give you a really interesting, I was talking to a friend about this a little while ago. Through the GFC, where the business focused its effort, just to pick up on your point here, is the person who had the loudest seat at the table was the CFO. Right. So it all became about financial governance of the business.
Correct.
Through COVID, the CHRO will probably have the larger voice at the table for a period of time because it's now about the people. Now about the health and the safety and the mental well-being of the people. So it's great from a HR perspective that will hopefully be a case that will translate into, you know, better strategy. And I think that's a great initiative that the US are taking around that.
Yeah, I think it is exciting. Well, Al, it's been a pleasure. The last thing I would love to keep talking to you, maybe we'll do it again sometime too. Besides work, because we're always working, right? We're always working all the time. And so what else does Al like to do? That's not work related.
What else does Al like to do? I've got 3 kids, a dog and 2 rabbits. And so they all keep me pretty busy, particularly through lockdown.
I've got two kids. Oil. I've got 2 kids, a dog, and 1 rabbit.
Hey, there you go. So the family. Look, family's a big focus for me. Interestingly, through COVID, I've actually, as probably many people have, I've actually focused a lot more on my fitness, which has been great in my health. So I've actually got a lot more active in playing golf and tennis and things like that, which has been awesome. Now with restrictions have eased up here, we're able to get out and do a lot more of that. So I think they're the key things. I'm a massive sports man. I don't play a lot of it, but I follow a lot of it. So thank God they were able to continue to play sport through COVID, because it was a pretty dark period there where there was no sport on. I think everyone was getting pretty desperate.
One of my main team members is an avid sports fan, and I like sports, but don't get me wrong. In fact, I'm a Raiders fan. The Raiders just lost to Kansas City Chiefs, and I was kind of bummed about that. But he's kind of like he's like everything from football, soccer, the real football, right? Around the rest of the world, all sorts of sports. So he always fills me in a lot of times on that. I've actually been learning to play the drums. I mean, my wife and I are always active anyway, so exercise is important. Considering that the COVID-15 is a real thing, as they say, of too much drinking and eating. So we work out a lot, but I've been learning how to play the drums, and I've had an electronic kit for a while, and I'd started a few years ago, and then it's one of those things that like you hang clothes on after a while. But really serious, and actually, I got a long ways to go, but I'm really starting to get some breakthrough. I am just loving it. So at least 30 to 40 minutes a day, I practice.
Oh, really? Good on you. Yeah. Well, you'll have to give. You would have seen the clips of the little girl who was.
With Dave Grohl. Yes. And drawing a blank on her name, but I did watch. I've seen them all so far. She's amazing.
She's incredible.
Anyway. Well, listen, Al, thank you for being on the Candy Shop Talk podcast, and I look forward to it maybe someday actually meeting you in person as well.
I would love that. We'll get that beer when we're able to.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Candy Shop Talk podcast. For more information about Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards and Benchmark Research, visit www.thetalentboard.org.